Welcome to Four Chicks Chatting, a womanish podcast that will engage, excite, and empower you as we chat about business and personal development, all with a healthy dose of humor. And now it's time to check in with our chicks, Kathy, Kristen, Mary Fran, and Robin.
And welcome back to another episode of Four Chicks Chatting. All right, buckle your seatbelts, people, because we have the most fun ride that I personally am so excited about today. We have the Twitter guru, the coolest chick of chicks, Madeline Sklar. And I'm going to read verbatim this little intro because I'm too excited to go off the cuff because I'll be here for 45 minutes giving the intro and all the excitement. So Kristen Smedley's just going to go with the script. Madeline Sklar has a history with social media that dates to a time before the term even existed. In 1996, Sklar founded Go Girls Music, one of the oldest and largest communities for female musicians. Over 20 years later, Sklar has established herself as a social media and specifically a Twitter marketing expert. Sklar shares her insights on Twitter best practices with her podcast and Twitter chat entitled #TwitterSmarter. When she's not helping the world optimize their Twitter strategy, she provides digital marketing services to marketing professionals. Ladies and gentlemen, the fabulous person has made me so much Twitter smarter and then some, Madeline Sklar. We are so excited that you're here, Madeline.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And I have to do a shout out for everybody that's listening on audio. I've got my World Cafe Live shirt from Philly because my son actually performed in honor of Madeline's whole music background. Your background is just so, eclectic and diverse. So let's dive in right there. How did you come into all of this?
Well, the internet was new back in like 1995. I started surfing what was then the web, very different from today. I fell in love with it. It was super cool. Like I just couldn't get away from the computer. And over time, I started realizing this could be the next big thing. It was before .com, like before people had even heard of .com. And I thought, why don't I use this as a way to bring other female musicians together. I grew up playing guitar. I was not a professional musician, but I always had a feeling I would somehow be connected to the music business. And I just started an online community to bring female musicians together. And then 20 something years later, it was just this huge thing I grew. And I wasn't trying to, it wasn't even my primary business. That was something I did on the side. It was a passion project, a full-time passion project.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
You had a side hustle before side hustles were even cool.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. I was doing a social network before we knew what to call it. I was doing a side hustle before people were saying side hustle. Yeah. And I was one of the first web designers here in Houston where I live. And that was how I started in entrepreneurship in 1996. And that became my primary work as far as earning a living. But then the Go Girls Music was what I would do in the evenings. And over time, it just became this thing where I was juggling both simultaneously, pretty much full time. Like I had two full time jobs.
Wow.
It was cool.
I think it's pretty cool that you really demonstrate the power of branding without even trying, because your passion is all through your brand. Of you can tell you love bringing people together, and that's one of your biggest talents. Aside from all the tools and techniques and all, and I think that's why I was so drawn to you, because you really show people how to bring people together in a fun, positive way. It's cool stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't trying to do anything, but just, you know, and web pages were static back then. There was no way to have a real community online except by email. So I was always looking for what are ways I can bring a whole group together. And way back in the 90s, there was this thing called Yahoo groups. Actually, there was some name for it. I think some kind of like e-groups or something, and it became Yahoo groups. And it was basically like this big bulletin board where I could email something and it went to the whole group, and then someone could reply and it went to the whole group. And it, you know, that was like the first evolution of what social networks became. It was so cool to be a part of all that as it was growing and becoming a thing.
It's so funny because I'm listening to you talking, like it sounds like it comparable to hieroglyphics for what was going on, like banging messages in the rock.
It was.
And then, right? And yeah. Then now look at where we are in such a short short time, but your ability to be a visionary in that area. And I mean, I have to say, and everybody knows this about me, I am such an amateur where all this is concerned. So at some point I want to get your top five things that a rank amateur who cannot figure this stuff out, what we can do. But the fact that you were willing to kind of dive right into this and sort of create it as it came along. I mean, and right. That's kind of what you did. You created this whole sort of Twitter platform thing. I mean, you created this as it went along, and there's a certain measure of courage, which is one of the words that we love here that has to go courage. Along with that. So, woo, thank you.
You know, I think what was so interesting is that prior to all of that, I had already failed in business. And I think that was what helped me realize that it's okay to dream big. It's okay to just go for it, because what's the worst thing that'll happen? And going through a failed business taught me that, like, okay, this didn't work the way I wanted to. I mean, I did like an SBA loan, got all this money, had this big, huge idea. It was, my son was young at the time. I wanted to put video cameras in the daycare center so we could, as a parent, we could watch online from our computers, right? We could be at work and we could log in and like see what is our kid doing in the daycare center. And it was
too ahead. How did that not work? I can't imagine a parent in the world not wanting that.
It was too ahead of its time.
There you go. You're a visionary.
The daycare centers didn't want it yet. The employees definitely didn't want Big Brother watching. It was, This was before video, just online video was a thing. Like the technology was slowly building. And at first it was, you could have a camera in your office and it would take a picture once a minute, just a photo once a minute, and then update. And then as technology evolved, it became every 30 seconds and then every 15 seconds. And remember too, modems back then, you know, those slow dial-up modem.
Yep.
And then you had, you know, half the country on slow modems when the other half of the country was already, you know, moving forward with faster modems. And then you had ISDN come out and then dual ISDN. And, you know, as things progressed, but the technology just, you know, this is before YouTube. So the technology just wasn't really there yet. So yeah, I came up with the idea so long ago and I was like, oh, this is going to work. And it didn't. And it was okay. It's okay to fail. What you want to do is at least try. Don't be afraid to try things, because try to think about, well, what would be the worst thing that would happen? So in my case with that, okay, I did an SBA loan. That was a pretty big deal. So I, you know, had to come up with a way to repay the loan, but not from that particular business that I was so sure was going to work. You know, I was pretty cocky, like, oh, this is going to be, I remember telling the lady at the bank, we're going to repay you like in 6 months or less. Like I really had this, like this is going to be huge, you know, but that's what it takes to be an entrepreneur as well. Like you really just have to be all in. You have to be passionate. If there's no passion there, then you're not going to go very far. I definitely learned that early on.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can tell that with your passion for Twitter too, because all these new, this is one of my burning questions for you too. All these new platforms come on the scene and everybody's like, you got to jump on and know all of that and be there.
Right.
You've held very true to Twitter. So let's dive into that a little bit about how you were able to stay there and grow it and be so effective.
Well, I love Twitter, and just about everybody I talk to loves Twitter, but they are all about the shiny object, right? Mm-hmm. So remember when Snapchat became a thing? Everybody was like, I'm all over Snapchat. And as a social media marketer, I need to be on top of whatever is new and exciting. And I'm usually one of the first ones that's jumping into a new platform. And I remember when Snapchat came out, and this was before it was big, and I was on there going, okay, interesting. I don't really get the excitement. You take a picture and then is gone as soon as you know, like somebody looks at it and then it goes away. Like, why would anybody want to do that except for the kids that were sexting in school? Like, okay. Yeah, they want to take a picture.
Make sure it goes away.
They want to go away. They want to disappear so mom and dad don't see it. Yeah, I totally got it for that. But for everyone else, like especially as a business owner, why would I use this? And then they were very smart to evolve the platform and get it to where, you know, you can make videos and do things, pictures where, you know, they stayed on there for 24 hours. And, you know, same thing with Instagram stories, which became a pretty good platform. But I never left Twitter, and I was still an advocate for Twitter through all that. And so what I was watching my colleagues do is jump on every single new thing. And nobody wanted to be the Twitter expert. And I'm like, looking at this like, why wouldn't you want to be the Twitter expert? Twitter is awesome. And it wasn't that they didn't like Twitter. They all love Twitter and they would say great things about Twitter. But they want to be the first to be running like one of these newer platforms. Like, I want to be the expert of this new Snapchat or this new Instagram. So I just stay true to Twitter. I love Twitter. I love teaching people how to use it. And what's interesting also in my life as an entrepreneur, with the music business, after 21 years, I was really ready to give that part up and just focus on one thing, because I always juggled multiple things as an entrepreneur, which most of us do, but it can be difficult and it can be very tiring. And I got older. It's like, okay, one thing would be enough now. And I felt like I could do everything I could do in the music business. I did a lot of cool things, and I just felt like, okay, there's no way I could do anything more exciting than what I've already done with this. So I made this decision in 2015 to make a pivot and go from being known in the music business. And I was really well known in the music business as a social media marketer, because I was one of the first ones that dove into that. But I decided that I want to get known as a Twitter marketing expert. And so I started that Twitter Smarter hashtag. A lot of people think it was the Twitter chat that came first. Actually, I just started using the hashtag. I saw that no one was using it. I just started branding it. I just started using it everywhere. And I developed an online training course. That was the first thing that was pound Twitter Smarter. Then I started the podcast a few years later. So I have the Twitter Smarter podcast, and the podcast was doing so well that less than 2 months later, I started the Twitter chat. And that's how a lot of people know me, is through the Twitter chat. But I've really shown people that you can take a hashtag, even though we can't legally own it, but that you could take a hashtag and really brand it into something that's yours. And so I'm really proud of that. It's cool.
I love all that too, because you just showed everybody how you can take one thing and be on multiple platforms and still stay true to your one thing. And then that's how you skyrocket to the top of influencer, and people know you for that. And honestly,
I got known.
Yeah. I really love you.
Yeah, I got known really fast. Yeah, the right people saw what I was doing, and opportunities just started flooding in. I've been speaking at Social Media Marketing World, which is the largest conference devoted to social media marketers, and they've had me there. Next month will be my fourth year in a row speaking specifically about Twitter marketing. They haven't had someone speak 4 years in a row on just Twitter, so I'm really proud of that. Just really great opportunities have come. I've spoken all over the place. I get asked to be on podcasts all the time like this, and other Twitter chats, and opportunities to write articles and do a lot of cool things. So, yeah.
Let's hold Mary Fran's hand for a minute here.
Oh, good God.
And let's ease her in. And I bet you there's a lot of listeners that we have that are not Twitter smarter. They're not savvy there. They're nervous as heck about it. What is the whole thing? So like Mary Fran had asked, if you had your five top, starting with Twitter, to be effective, what would you say?
Well, when you're on Twitter, one of the most important things to do is to be consistent. When I got on Twitter, I realized that if I spent time on there every single day and just talked to people, it made a huge difference. And having conversations, not just pushing out your stuff. Like, don't make it be about, hey, come listen to my podcast. Hey, buy my book. Hey, come do this, come do that. Is getting on there and actually listening and being part of conversations. So like Kristen, you come on the Twitter Smarter chat, and I know you've made amazing connections from doing that, just by being present. You show up consistently and you're just present. That alone is half of it right there. Is just showing up and being part of a conversation. So Twitter chats are amazing for that. I'm a huge advocate for Twitter chats. If you want to connect with other people that are like-minded, that's where you want to go. You want to go check out chats. And if you can't find one, then start your own. There's no rule book that says you cannot start your own. I decided to start the Twitter Smarter. It's so funny because I don't know if people really think like, a Twitter chat about Twitter, but why not? Why not have a Twitter chat about Twitter? So, and I've encouraged so many colleagues to step out and start one themselves. A really good friend of mine, in my eyes, was a Snapchat expert, and I was trying to learn, more savvy ways of using Snapchat when it was really big several years back. And one day I talked to her and I said, you know, you ought to start a Twitter chat that's all about Snapchat. I bet people would love it. I think you would really fill a void out there. And she was nervous about it. And she says, you know, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do it. And it became this huge Twitter chat. And she got connected with so many big people in the industry. So it elevated her name and her brand out there. So, you know, hosting your own Twitter chat can be so great for your own personal brand.
I have such a huge question here because so I've tried to do this Twitter chat thing and like find yours and stuff like that. I just am not, I don't want to say I'm not smart enough, but I'm not. I can't figure it out. So say I wanted to start a chat on personal branding because that's my expertise. How would I go about doing that?
Well, the first thing you'd want to do is go look and see, are there other chats out there about that and see what's going on in the industry and see who the players are and get to know the people that are hosting chats like that and who participates on chats like that, because they would probably want to come participate on yours as well. So that's the first step, seeing what's out there and then finding the right hashtag. And the hashtag is the whole thing, right? You got to have a hashtag that I'm really big with branding, and I'm all about, you know, like if I'm doing a hashtag, I want the hashtag to say what it is. So Twitter Smarter, I think you get a pretty clear picture as to what Twitter Smarter is. Just like when I was in the music business, I came up with Go Girls Music. People pretty much figured out it was about music for women. And when I had my web design business, I called it Orbit Web Design. Like, I always made sure it was very clear what my brand was in the name. So your hashtag is super important with that. And you want to go do a very thorough search of hashtags and find something that other people are not using. Because if they're using it, and then you come along and start using it for a weekly Twitter chat, it could get confusing to other people. So when I was first starting my hashtag, before Twitter Smarter, I actually came up with Twitter Rockstars. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're a Twitter Rockstar. I thought that was really cool and very me. And people were using it, not a lot, but enough. Like it was a lot of, hey, you're, you know, pound Twitter Rockstar. You're so cool. It was a lot of that going on. And it was kind of daily. And I thought, okay, that hashtag's not going to work. There's going to be too much confusion. Even though I felt like Twitter Rockstar really said what I was trying to do. So I just did more. And the thing is, you can start with one and change it if it's just not working out. You know, I always tell entrepreneurs, you make the rules. It's your rule book. And you can always make changes. You can always tweak things as you go. So very quickly, I switched it to Twitter Smarter, and it was a hit. And it was great that no one else was using it. That really played in my favor. And then the key is to just start, to just do it. I have a tattoo that says just do it, by the way, because I really firmly.
Oh, my gosh, that's so awesome.
Isn't that great?
I love that.
I love having presentations, and at the end, I'll do that at Social Media Marketing World next month. At the end, like da 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 da, just do it, and I'll pull the arm out, you know, and
that's awesome.
People get a kick out of that. I'm a little geeky, in case you haven't noticed.
Love it.
We love geeky.
Totally cool.
We do geeky very well around here.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's so, why I like you guys.
How do you search for a chat? Like, I know you can go in search and you can search for specific hashtags, but how do you search to find a chat?
And that's such a great question. I get asked that a lot. So I would first start with the Google search. You know, Google is always your friend. Go to Google and just type, like, if you were looking for a Twitter chat about Twitter, I would just type in Twitter chats about Twitter or Twitter chats. But you know, the more specific you can be, the better. You know, if you want to do one on personal branding, then put personal branding Twitter chats and see where that goes. Now, when you do a search, many times you'll find something, and while you're in that thing, it'll lead you to another place, which will lead you to another place. So you can really go down some rabbit holes that'll really help you with this.
True.
Which can be a good thing. Sometimes not so good. And then I would also just get on Twitter, and Twitter has an advanced search that can be super helpful. You know, when we're on Twitter, we've got the search bar at the top, but there's also the advanced search, and the link for that, and y'all can put this in the show notes, twitter.com/search-advance. And you know, Twitter has this thing about these little secretive things that they don't tell anyone about. And that link, when you go there, it's this magical page where you can really hone in on the kind of search you want to do. Like, it doesn't just have to be typing in Twitter chats. You know, you can get very specific. You can do it by location if you want. There's so many things you can do in the advanced search. So I would just start looking around and seeing. And if you find other Twitter chats that are similar, talk to the hosts and see. And many times they're familiar with other chats and they can help you. Now, what I did several years back, I started because I just wasn't finding any great lists out there or directories of Twitter chats. So I started my own that's specifically for social media and marketing Twitter chats. So I have that on my website. I can give you guys the link for the show notes, but it's just a collection of, you know, by day of the week and just the different hashtags and the time and who puts it on. And people have found that super helpful. And that's something you can do as well. Is just start, become a curator, start uncovering great Twitter chats in your niche and put together a listing. It's a great way to bring people over to your website.
That's an awesome idea. You know, I have to say, I have to comment here and jump in because, you know, the thing that's been such a challenge for me with Twitter is obviously it's a marketing tool. So I've often fallen into that sort of trap of here's my stuff, look at my stuff. But what I'm hearing and what really makes an awful lot of sense is you need to listen first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like if you're trying to figure this out, get in there and listen first and see what everybody else is doing and then engage. So there's almost like a process to this. So like listen first, engage, and then talk about your stuff.
Exactly. And that's exactly it right there. What too many people do, and especially a lot of the businesses, the brands do, they get on there and they make it this one-way street of just pushing out content. That's all they do. They push out content and then they leave and go do other things. And that's not, you know, in the early days of Twitter, sure, you know, you could do that and that would help a little bit, but not, the best way to do this, get on there, listen to conversations, listen to what others are doing, pay close attention. We call that social listening. I mean, that's actually a thing. You can Google that. Social listening. And then have conversations, but don't make it about you. I mean, this is like basic marketing and sales. I mean, what's sales 101? Make it about them, right? So same thing applies on Twitter. You know, when you come on a Twitter chat and you offer your thoughts, your advice, your two cents, and Kristen knows she comes on there regularly, it attracts people. And next thing you know, you just made 5 new friends in business. And, you know,
and everybody's how happy to see you. It's like, welcome. And all these like, I don't even know you, but I love you now.
Well, I've been running Twitter chats every week for the past, 8 or 9 years now. Because when I was in the music business, when I ran my organization, Go Girls Music, I started a Twitter chat. I think it was like 2011. And you'll love this story because this was really fun. So there were some Twitter chats out there. It wasn't a huge thing, but it was a thing. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to start one for my music community. It'll be like a little value added benefit, even though it's public. But I really wanted my members to come be a part of it. And very quickly, like, everybody in the music business just started jumping on. And my thing in the when I talk about the music business, I specifically worked with indie artists. So I was not working with the big major label brand, you know, people. I was working with those amazing musicians that play at your neighborhood bars and clubs that nobody knows about but should know about because they're amazing. And so a lot of these musicians just started showing up to the chat because there was nothing else like it. And here I was doing it just to, you know, have another way to bring my community together in a really neat and unique way. And I pick Thursday evenings. You know, it's a lot of different time zones around the world, so that can be really challenging as well. So I started at 9 p.m. Eastern every Thursday, did that for a very long time. After about a year, I had all these people in Europe coming, but it would be like very early in the morning for them. And they were starting to say, hey, can you do this earlier in the day? Because we really like your chat and we want to be a part of it too. So I said, why don't just, because this is just how my mind works. Why not just add another time? I'll do it twice every Thursday, you know, because the 9 o'clock thing was working so well. I didn't want to change that. So in addition to that, I also did one at 3 o'clock Eastern is what I did. So every Thursday, so Thursday was like Twitter chat day for me. 3 o'clock Eastern, I did my chat. Then again at 9 o'clock Eastern. And everybody loved it. And I very quickly made the first 10 to 15 minutes all about loving on each other. Hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. What have you been up to? Because basically what you're doing in a Twitter chat is you've assembled a group of people and you're bringing them together for an hour. And I'm not going to just show up at the top of the hour and go, okay, question number one, let's go. And I've seen chats do that and it just feels so impersonal and it feels cold, right? Mm-hmm. So I make it all about, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? I have greeters. I have volunteer greeters on my chats. I've always done that because I want to say hi to everybody. But as my chats have grown, I can't possibly say hi to everybody as they come in. So, it's something if you come on my chats, you probably notice somebody said, you're probably going to get a few people at least say hi to you because that's just community. But we especially have like volunteer greeters that just go around saying hello to everybody when they first come on. And it's just a feel good kind of thing. And it makes people want to come back. I hope they're coming back for the content, but I want them to feel good. And many times we put together programs that we would want to be a part of. And that's the way I would want to come on a Twitter chat is when everybody is, spending the first 10 minutes saying hello and catching up. And it's fun to be the host and just sitting back and watching all of this happen. Like all these people have connected on this little chat because I came up with the idea to do it. And I've showed up every week consistently and have made it happen. And I've watched people go on to do things together. I've seen lots of collaborations just because they came and met on the chat that I started. So many great benefits to hosting a chat for sure.
And not even just the collaborations, which is what I've been a part of, but I also jumped the food chain in influencer in my little tiny niche. I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, I was on one of yours and I learned about Twitter chats and found a rare disease one for Rare Disease Day. And I did a blog because it was so impactful that I was on this Twitter chat with these massive people I could never have gotten next to from Mass Bio and these pharmas. And
I remember.
And I called, yep. I said something like the rare disease bigwigs were in my kitchen. I'm making dinner for my kids,
I remember that article. I remember that photo you had on there. That was so cool. And it shows you the power of Twitter chats. That here's why I love Twitter so much. Twitter is one of those tools where you can get in front of people you would normally not ever be able to get in front of. People think you can just go to LinkedIn and do that. And sure, yeah. You can with some people, but not everyone is going to respond on LinkedIn. Not everyone uses LinkedIn. A lot of people still use it as a resume site. But if they're active on Twitter, like I've had conversations on Twitter with the Gary Vaynerchuk, who has millions of followers, and I've had conversations with him on Twitter. He's done Twitter videos to me. Like where else would that happen?
That's awesome.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And I'll say, if you're going to be in Twitter chats, make sure that your picture, your profile picture looks like you. Because I swear that's how people have found me in my niche at conferences and all. They come right up to me and they go, you're Kristen Smedley from Twitter. Because I look like me on the picture.
Exactly. I love that you say that because that goes back to the importance of branding. And so and I know you'll probably laugh, but back in the MySpace days, you have to realize in the music business, MySpace was huge. MySpace was really built for musicians. And I helped so many of them build their community, build their presence, help them sell records, help them go on tour just by using MySpace. And I used to always tell everyone, have a great profile picture that looks like you or a good picture of your band or whatever it is that you're putting up there. Because with I always had a headshot for me. Anything you see with me is always going to be a headshot where you can tell what I look like and it's updated. So that if you saw me at a conference, you would know it's me. And I cannot tell you how many, I used to go to so many music conferences back in the MySpace days. I can't tell you how many times I would walk into the hotel or wherever the conference was taking place. I mean, people would just stop what they were doing, say, oh my God, you're Madeline. We're MySpace friends. Like they immediately recognized me and it showed the importance of branding and having that. I'm so glad you mentioned that because having a good profile picture is so important. And this would be a good time to tell everybody that's tuning in to go do an audit of your Twitter profile. Do them for all of your profiles, but especially your Twitter profile. Go do an audit. Go take a look. What does the headshot look like? Can people recognize you from it? Too many times people put up a photo where they're too far away. Like it's a whole view rather than a headshot. And when you're scrolling through Twitter, it becomes tiny like this. And it just looks like a blob. So make sure it's a good headshot so that people can recognize you. Check your bio, make sure you're using, you get 160 characters, make sure you're using all or most of it. You can put hashtags in there. You can put a link in there. Even though there's a place for your .com in your profile, you can also put a link in the bio. So, you know, like Kristen, I know you've got your book, so you could have your .com in the place for that, but in your bio, you could actually put like a bit.ly link that could like say, you know, new book !! And then put the URL in there to help people. So that way you can actually have more than one link. So lots of little things like that, that you can do. And then at the top of your profile, that's the big header image. And I mean, that's a huge image. It's 1500 pixels across by 500 pixels tall. And that's like advertising real estate. So there's so much you can do with that space. Too many times I see people take a random photo and just plaster it up there. And it makes no sense. It's like you look at it and you go, okay, I don't get it. You know, why not have something that clearly states who you are and what you do? Have a great looking photo. So I always tell people, go look around in your industry and look at other Twitter profiles and pick out the ones that are just, that really grab your attention. Yeah. And see what you can do to make yours look just as good.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
your header's almost great.
Kristen said, your header's always great. And I was going to say, ladies and gentlemen, I did not pay you to say all of this about the good
picture. I was thinking the same thing. this goes right back to Robin, right?
Exactly. There. I'm like, I preach this, that you have to have a good headshot and that all of your images should be up to date and professional so that people can get to know you, recognize you, and develop that emotional connection with you. Because if you just have an arbitrary picture, you're right. Yep. People are going to look at that and be like, well, I don't know what she does.
They don't connect with you. You know, at the end of the day, when we're on social media, we're just talking to other people. Even if you're talking to someone at a brand like Starbucks, if you're talking to Starbucks on Twitter, you're still talking to a person. Now, a big brand is going to have their logo. That's fine. But for the rest of us, our personal brand should be a great headshot that people can recognize you from, but also something that's warm and inviting. It should be a nice photo. It should be pleasing to look at. I love when I see one where somebody's smiling, like, Kristen, you have such a great photo on yours. It makes you like, oh, I know I can be friends with her. Yeah. It gives you that kind of feeling. Like all of y'all have great photos.
I figure
y'all got that benefit of the right in-house there. Photographer.
Photographer in the family, right?
Yeah, and Robin's photos are always so great. So
they
make you want to like, it's like, I want to talk to this person. They look really cool. That's important.
The thing that I'm hearing in all of it, I think that we tend to, at least I do, and maybe other people do too, tend to compartmentalize social media platforms. This one does this, that one does that, this one does the other thing. But obviously what I'm hearing from what you're saying is that there are so many ways on Twitter to make that impression and make that engagement. And I mean, obviously we've talked about some of them, the Twitter chat, just the profile picture, your header, like all those kinds of things combined to help you create this sort of personal or business platform for yourself within one platform, Twitter.
Right. Absolutely. And at the end of the day, it's just about engaging with people.
Right.
You know, just coming on there and just talking to people. And I always preach Twitter chats because you just can't get any easier than that. Because a Twitter chat is typically a 1-hour chat once a week that people just congregate to. So it's no different than going to, it's basically a networking event inside of Twitter. We like to go to networking events, right? So if you're not at a networking event, what are you doing? You're just trying to find people to talk to. You're just walking around hoping you can find people to talk to. I mean, that's how Twitter is. So why not go to a networking event where you'll be surrounded by other like-minded people? And that's the key, like-minded people. You know, if you want to learn more about Twitter, you come on Twitter Smarter Chat. Or if you know a lot about Twitter and you want to come share your two cents, that's another great thing about Twitter chats. It's not just a place for learning, but it's a place for you to share your expertise. So it's, you know, it's always fun to see different participants on my chats, you know, come share their two cents. And there have been times where I've watched some of these people and I thought, I should have them on as a guest. They really know their stuff. So actually my guest for next week's Twitter Smarter Chat, he's been one of my regular participants. He's a great guy. So I said, hey, I'd love for you to come be a guest.
That's awesome. And you can do it without having to put on your, your industrial undergarments and your, you can wear your fuzzy slippers and be in your yoga pants. Woo!
That's exactly right. But here's the thing. So, you know, I'm just the kind of person where I just like to be different. It's just like, I'm not trying to, but by doing that, I stand out. So a couple of years ago, what I started doing is when live streaming was becoming a thing and I fell in love with Facebook Live, I thought, okay, here's an idea. And again, I make the rules because we make our own rule book. I thought, after the Twitter chat, let me see if the guest would like to come on the live stream with me. We'll do Facebook Live for about 10 or 15 minutes, and it'll be, I'll call it the after chat. And that way we go from Twitter, which it feels like texting, you know, just feel like you're on your phone or your computer texting because you don't see anyone, but you're having great conversations. Now let's move it over to video. So now we got to be camera ready. But it's really
just from
fun.
Here up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Anything else?
Exactly. Nah. No one sees the yoga pants or big pajama pants and the fuzzy slippers. But it's a fun way to just take that chat and go make a little quick interview. And now you've got video of this that you go put on YouTube. You can cut it up into pieces and share on Instagram and Twitter. There's so much you could do with that. I mean, it's all about content. And that's a really, because, you know, when you do a chat, you're just conversing. And then you're done until the next time and the next time. So if you're looking to build content out of it, like as soon as the chat's over, I go create a recap. I utilize a feature that's not very well known on Twitter called Twitter Moments. And it's a way to curate a group of tweets. So what I do is if you go to my Twitter profile, and I can give you a direct link for the show notes, but when you're on someone's profile, if they have Twitter Moments, if they're using it, it will say Moments. You click on it, and my two chats I host each week, Twitter Smarter and Social ROI, I put together a Twitter Moments recap where I just kind of take all the questions, all the answers from the guests, and some answers from participants. So it makes for a nice recap. So now it's a piece of content that can live on. Wow. And then I go and I take that and I put it on my website. So now it lives on as a blog post. So much you can do with content on there.
Well, I didn't That's realize amazing. That. Because I end up going back and searching the hashtag and looking. If I miss it or if I miss a bunch of things, I'll have to now go to your website, look at your blog for the recap.
Yeah, because there'll be times where you come on the chat and you like last week's chat or this week's chat was really good. I'm like, wow, that was some really great content that our guests shared, and it was on personal branding this week. Mm-hmm. And or if you miss the chat, it's always great when the host does a recap because many times people say, reason why I started doing it, so many people said, hey, I can't make next week's chat. I wish there was a way I could, you know, go check it out afterwards. So that's when I came up with the idea to start doing recaps and start doing the live streams. A lot of people, you know, say, hey, I can't come at this time anymore, but they can come an hour later when I'm doing the after chat. So that works out really well too.
Madeline,
what
I like
time are you? Oh, sorry.
Oh no, that's okay. I like that you use the word engage before, because you know you think Twitter, everything's so fast. You just like it, share it, like it, share it, like it, share. Right. And I was somewhat, I'll be vulnerable for a minute. I was somewhat intimidated by responding to somebody's article, even though I thought I had a pretty good thought on it or a pretty unique take on something. And I was afraid to do that. And I started doing it. I started making a comment or replying. And sure enough, this person that I really admire, again, I would never have met on LinkedIn, is responding back to me. And we're having this conversation. And I thought, how cool. And I guess I wish I had engaged a little earlier, but I am starting to do it more and seeing a difference. And I think it positions me as, well, you know what? This woman knows what she's talking about. So now other people are seeing me as the expert.
That's awesome. So I would love to give out some homework for that, because this is so great. I love giving out homework anyway, because I can sit here and talk about this all day, but what we want people to do now is go take action from what they're learning out of this. So one of the things we didn't really touch on is Twitter lists, and Twitter lists are a great way to organize your Twitter feed. So what I would recommend everyone to do is to go create a Twitter list. And actually I have some new Twitter articles on my website. If you go to MadelineSklar.com, I just put out an article that's all about Twitter lists. I have an article. It's all about Twitter chats. I have an article on hosting your own Twitter chat. So you can access all that there. But a Twitter list, basically what I would love everyone to do is to go create a list and you just add Twitter profiles into it. go seek out the people you admire, the people that you would love to be in front of, go add them to the list. And then when you go review that list, it's just going to show you their tweets. So mm-hmm. if you go add five people, you know, like the Gary Vaynerchuks and the Mari Smiths and all these big people in social media that I admire, you know, in your industry, make a list and make it private. Doesn't have to be for anyone else to see, because your list can be public or private. I would make it private. It defaults to public, so you got to click on it to be private. And that way no one else sees it. And just start watching. It's just a feed. Because when you go to your home feed, that's everyone you follow. And if you follow a lot of people, it's going to be a lot of tweets in there. So you'll fall in love with Twitter lists if you start doing this, because you'll see how you can customize your own feeds, basically. So start this list of people you want to talk to and get in front of. Just start paying attention to the tweets and do like exactly what you said. Just start replying, start responding, just start having conversations. It's not just about hitting that like button. It used to be the like and the retweets got you attention. It doesn't anymore. Twitter is actually thinking about doing away with the like button to get more people to engage. So view it as, I can only reply. Just view it as, I can only reply and say something back to engage with this person. And you'll be amazed at how many people will, not everyone's going to respond, but you'll be amazed at how many people will. And yeah. these are the people you want to get in front of. So I would recommend putting together a Twitter list and then make a point every day to go reply to five tweets from these people. Just pick five tweets from that feed and just reply, you know, and not just, hey, great article. Like, you know, check out the article or whatever it is they're saying, and just start a conversation out of it. You'll be amazed, and you'll see the power of Twitter engagement by doing that.
Okay. I love that idea.
All right, everybody. Everybody's got their homework. And when we post this, we want to see you from our listeners, copies of your Twitter chats and Twitter lists. And who's on it? And we better be on it, first of all. We ought to be up
chatting
for six. And then that'll.
Well, here's what y'all can do. So what I would recommend doing on y'all's Twitter account is to put together a public Twitter list that has all of y'all's accounts on it. And people can subscribe to public lists. So if you could create a list, say, hey, everybody, be sure to subscribe to our list so you can see all of our tweets. You can see what we're up to. You can always, you know, get in touch, respond, have conversation with us. You can really, it becomes like a little mini community by doing that, just by encouraging people to subscribe to your list and pay attention to what y'all are saying on Twitter.
I had no idea this feature existed. It's kind of like Facebook groups almost.
There are so many features. There's this feature called Media Studio. That would have to be like a whole separate podcast episode, but Media Studio is this very little known feature on Twitter, mostly reserved for people that do advertising on Twitter. But the thing is, you don't have to spend money and advertise. You just need to have a Twitter ads account. So if you go sign up for a Twitter ads account, you'll have access to this. And one of the great things about this, and like with my video rockstar program I was doing last year that you were talking about, I would put tweets on there with videos, and in the videos you can add a call to action. You could put a link and send them somewhere. So I would make these videos. I'd have testimonial videos or videos of me promoting it, the program, and putting it out as a tweet. But in the Media Studio, I could take that video and I can put some metadata. So I can have like a headline that's bolded. So you have your tweet, you have your video, and right underneath the video in the tweet, it'll be a bolded headline of whatever it is I want to say, and a small description. And then I can put a link to it. So if I want to send someone to the landing page, the sales page, I can make it so that they have the ability to click on that video and it would take them there. So little features that I'm just so surprised Twitter doesn't really talk about. So that's another reason why I've been on this mission to help people become Twitter smarter. I've been on this mission since 2013. I've been using Twitter since 2009, but in 2013, it was just so many people saying, I don't understand Twitter. I don't get it. How do you make it? How do you get all these followers? How do you make this work for you? They're always so surprised when I say the bulk of my business comes from Twitter. The bulk of the money I earn is from using Twitter. They're just shocked and are like, how do you do that? And it's like learning all these little ins and outs, all these features, and using them to my advantage. So when I'm promoting something big, I'll use that Media Studio feature. And who doesn't want to have some metadata and a call to action tied into a tweet? So yeah. It works out great.
I'm canceling my plans for Friday night, and I'm going to be figuring out this media thing. These guys, I'm going to be sending it to all of them, texting them all night, going, figure this out with me. I'm so excited for
I have lists. You'd be proud of me. I have lists. I have a list called Badasses. My list is badasses, people who really have something valuable to say. I have a sales training list. I have a women movers and shakers. I have a coaches list. Nice. And Twitter Smarter 2016.
There you go.
Wow. That's so awesome. Madeline, what time, I have three questions for you. One, what time and day are your Twitter chat, is your Twitter chat? I want to quickly talk about the importance of video. And then the third one was, I don't know.
I'll start with the times while you're thinking of that. Okay, so Twitter Smarter, I host every Thursday at 1 o'clock Eastern.
Thursday and at 1.
It's just a fun place to go. Plenty of people tell me that they don't have anything to contribute. They just sit there and lurk. And lurking in the nice sense, not lurking like, ooh, you're being a deviant. It's just, you know, just watching. You
but are deviants welcome? Let's just clear that up.
Sure, why not?
Know.
Of course.
It's all inclusive.
Easy to go to a Twitter chat because, I mean, it's just the hashtag. If you don't say anything, no one knows you're there. So a lot of people tell me they just don't really have anything to contribute, but they just come and watch and learn. But I always say, at least say hi in the beginning so we know you're there. You know, come on and just say, hey, I'm here. At the beginning, I'll always ask, where's everybody from? Where you're located at? That's a great icebreaker because sometimes I'll see people say, oh, I'm in your same town. Oh, I didn't know you lived there too. Really cool things happen from that. I also have another Twitter chat I host called Social ROI. I host it for a company called Managed Flitter, managedflitter.com. It's a Twitter tool, a third-party Twitter tool. And so I host that every Tuesday at 5 o'clock Eastern. And we're always bringing on really interesting guests talking about all types of social media, all things social media and, you know, social selling, returning on your investment, things like that. It's a really cool chat.
Oh, that sounds awesome too. And is the Twitter Smarter, is that at 1 p.m. Eastern time or is that Central time?
1 o'clock Eastern.
Eastern time.
Every Thursday.
Okay. And then just because I did your video rock star class last year and there was such a huge transformation. These girls can totally attest to it. And I know video is super, super important. And I know Kristen has found video to just really soar her engagement and her following and everything. So yeah. A lot of people are so afraid to get in front of that camera. And what I have found, and I learned this through you, is not to script it. Just, you know, I have an expertise, I have a passion. And if I can go on and just talk like that, just as though I'm talking right now, it goes so much better for me. So what are some of the tips that you can give people for really engaging through video, putting themselves out there through video, and then just some tips on using video on Twitter and how to best do that?
Well, first of all, that's awesome that you've been doing that. Just like my arm says, just do it. And it's really that simple. Like so many people are held back by fear. They say, oh, I don't like how I look on camera. I don't like the sound of my voice. But video is becoming the thing now with social media. Like every LinkedIn just came up with LinkedIn Live. Like they just started LinkedIn Live. Every platform has a live stream version. They all encourage using videos, whether it's recorded or live. I think utilizing video is one of the best things you can do because people see you. They get, you know, social media feels so much like texting. It's just putting some words out, maybe a photo, but with video, they see you and they get to know you. So many people feel like they know Madeline Sklar because I put videos up so frequently. And I'm a big fan of just doing it. Like when we script it, we overthink it too much. Mm-hmm. If we script it, then we're so focused on saying everything so perfectly that you'll do it 10 or 20 times and get frustrated because it didn't come out the way you wanted. So instead, just know what you want to talk about and then just go. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, whatever I do the very first, you know, if I do it more than once, that first one is always the best one every time. So I try to just do that one video and just post it and not worry about, oh, I stuttered a little bit in the beginning, or, oh, I had to kind of, I paused first, or my dog started barking. Mm-hmm. People love my dog. And, you know, half the time he's behind me on the sofa and shows up in my live streams or starts barking because FedEx is at my door. You know, life happens and people love that. That's what makes video so amazing. So you can't get more real, raw, and transparent than using video in your social media. I'm a big fan of doing this on Twitter. So one of the things I'm a big advocate for is what I call video replies. So when you're going through your Twitter and you're looking at your notifications, I always urge people to check your notifications every day. And the more you use Twitter, the more engagement you're going to get and the more your notifications are going to fill up. And when you're going through your notifications, so let's say, you know, you tweeted something at the Twitter Smarter Chat yesterday and you go through your notifications and you got some replies from people on the chat. When you reply back, you could just do a video and start talking to them on video. And no one does this. And it's such a great way to stand out, but it's also a great way to really connect with the people you're talking to. So what I do pretty regularly is and you do it on your phone. It's a mobile thing. You can't really do it from your desktop computer. Twitter is set up for this to be mobile right now. So when you're hitting that reply to a tweet, you just tap on the little camera icon. You open up the video camera. You point it at you. You hold the button down and just talk. And you can do up to 2 minutes and 20 seconds, but I keep mine pretty short. Somebody might say something nice. So instead of typing back and say, oh, thank you so much, I'll just make a video and say, you rock. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. Oh my God. They're going to go tell all their friends that I got a video from this lady on Twitter and I've never seen anything like this. Now I'm inspired to go do that. And so yeah. I'm trying to get a whole thing going with this. Like I'm just been on this mission for a few years now to like get people to utilize Twitter video and just start these video replies. And that's just one way to use video. I mean, you could go back through all your recorded videos you have, go through your YouTube videos. You could take, you know, cut up little pieces of like the best parts and go put them in tweets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's just like so that. Much you could do with video.
I like that.
It's awesome.
I stood out big time with the video reply for that contest with the T-Mobile.
You sure did. You sure did. I saw that. That was so cool.
Nobody else.
And here's the thing. Most people would have been, I'm not going to even reply to that. I mean, I'm not going to get that opportunity. He's going to give that to someone else. He's such a big deal. And look at all these people replying to his tweet. But you stood out because you did a video. And no one thinks to do that. And I saw you do that. I just happened to catch it when you did that. I was like, oh, that's so cool. I bet that's going to turn into something. Even if he didn't respond back, I'm sure you got connected with some other people because I'm sure other people saw your video.
You got 30,000 views.
That's amazing. That is totally amazing.
It was 90 seconds long and I was in my pajamas and threw a sweatshirt and my Eagles hat on.
Yeah.
And I didn't even have super great lighting and just did it.
Yep. Because it's best to not overthink.
Your passion comes in there real quick. It wasn't perfect and people loved it.
Yeah, that's right. Because too many times we overthink it. It's like, well, what should I say? What should I say? Oh, let me put some lipstick on. Oh, let me go take a shower so my hair looks good. You know, and then the moment's gone.
It's gone. Yeah.
And so I'm just so proud of you with that. You know, Kristen, that was just bold and exciting. And look at all the attention you got out of doing that.
Yeah.
And she loves attention.
We all love attention.
I have been doing a lot of different videos. It's like Gary Vee says, nobody watched his videos for the first year. He just kept doing them and he got really good at it. And when people started watching, he looked like, you know, he came on the scene really good. But speaking of the moment gone, I think that we actually have to wrap this up.
Sadly.
We have a Twitter Smarter Marathon here and talk all day.
I know. I feel like I could talk to you all day.
It was great.
We'll have to have you back on.
For sure.
Yeah, we'll do a part two. So how about if for now we just met and let everybody know where the best places to find you are.
Twitter for sure. And having an unusual name makes it so easy to find me. So at Madeline Sklar on Twitter, and that's MadelineSklar. And also my website, MadelineSklar.com. I've been putting out a whole series of Twitter articles every week. So the things we're talking about, you know, I have an article all about Twitter chats, all about Twitter video, all about Twitter lists. And I just keep adding them. So you can learn a lot just from these little articles I'm putting out.
And well, we'll have a ton of your info in the show notes too. So
yeah,
we'll
put all this info
and links and everything in show notes.
Sure.
Perfect. Well, Madeline, this is talk about being with a Twitter rock star today. Woo. It has been phenomenal. And I can't believe everything that I learned. I have a whole list of all the new.
I know. I've been writing stuff down. Look.
That's awesome.
And I have at the top of my list, one of the first things you said was how you failed at a business. I said, Madeline failed. Yay.
I'm so glad. You know, that, I think, was the best thing that ever happened, because so many people are held back by fear and they're worried about the unknown. They're worried about the what ifs. But that will always hold you back in business. And then you just won't excel in the things you want to excel in. So when I was starting my music community, like every idea I came up with, I just went for it. And I just said to myself, if it works, great. If not, move on to something else. The Twitter chats worked. People loved it. I didn't know if it was going to work.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, is it worth the investment? I mean, it was a time investment for sure, but it was an amazing experience. I loved every moment of it, and I'm glad I went for it. And I think if I go back to the beginning and not failed in business early on, I probably would have had a lot of fears in trying new things, because that little voice in our head goes off too much. And so you got to take that voice out and just know that whatever it is you want to do is probably going to be awesome. You won't know until you try. It's better to try than not at all. And if it doesn't work out, it's okay. I've had plenty of things not work out, and I just moved on to the next thing on my list. No big deal.
There's the value bomb of the day. Just think about that. But think about that forearm, put that forearm up and just do it. And if it works, it works. If not, yeah.
Just do it. That.
All right. This has been so exciting, engaging, enlightening, empowering. It's been awesome. Thank you so much, Madeline Sklar. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you loved it too, leave us a review on iTunes, and especially go follow us and Madeline on Twitter, and let's all connect there and share your thoughts with how all this went, and give us a video reply to our post. We'll see how that goes too.
Yeah.
So until next time on here on Four Chicks Chatting, this is Kristen, Robin, Mary Fran, Kathy, and Madeline, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Our Chicks. Want to learn how to create your own chick chat? Head to our website, chickschatting.com. Be sure to join our chats on that social thing, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.